I'll tell you something about myself. I don't like cell phones going off in the middle of the talk, so please put your cell phone off. And if you don't, I'll think up something to do with you. Someone could stand at the door and tell everyone to put their cell phone off. At the door, everyone's coming in with their cell phone on. Yeah, yeah, okay. I just announced that. Well, I didn't announce it, yeah. Please put your cell phone off. But someone can stand at the door because so many are coming. Yeah, okay, you got it. Also, if you want to take a photo of this face or anything around it during this talk, don't. If you want to take a photo of this particular body, you can do so after the talk. I'll sit here and pose, and I might even smile. But don't do it during the talk, please. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Shrishtam Anamapi Shachiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyatah Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Does it sound okay? It sounds a bit raspy. That's how the system is, okay. Oh, just while I remember, I have a suggestion. In the temples that were established when Srila Prabhupada was present, where the Vyasa-san was not at the back, generally with Srila Prabhupada facing the deities, but at least two places I know, Hyderabad and one other, At the side, in Vrindavan, yeah. But on this side. So then you come in, offer obeisance to Prabhupada and come. But this way you have to come and turn around and you can't, you have to, your feet will be facing toward the deities. So it's a suggestion that you can place Srila Prabhupada here. Another suggestion I have, and please don't take it offensively, but this is not the standard murti of Srila Prabhupada, and the standard ones made by my godbrother Lochan Prabhu, they're like an exact replica, but this isn't. So I can suggest, you can get from Ujjain for 50,000 rupees or something. You must have, how many crores did you spend for this temple? I'm just suggesting you can bring another murti of Srila Prabhupada.
Mm.
As you know, we're in the beginning of Damodar months, and everyone please turn your phone off. As you know, we're in the beginning of Damodar months, so I thought it appropriate to speak on the topic of the Damodar Lila. Actually, what we generally think of as Damodar Lila, that's only one, isn't it? Because it means Krishna is tied up by ropes by Mother Yashoda, but there's also Krishna being tied up by ropes by the younger gopis. That's not so well known. So I thought it appropriate to speak about this, and I'm going to be speaking on an article which appeared in the Back to Godhead magazine a few years ago called Bound by Love by Gauranga Darshan Prabhu, who is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami and is the dean of the college, of some college at Bhaktivedanta Eco Village just outside Mumbai. And he's written a very... it's both very deeply researched from the Bhagavatam and from the commentaries, and also with a lot of feeling. So it's very nice, and I'll speak loosely based on that. I could just read it, but generally when you just read things, people, they don't listen much, and they don't feel as if it's so tasty. So I'll paraphrase it. So what are we talking about? We're talking about God being tied up, right? God being tied up. Does that make any sense? That's one of Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj's famous lines. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense? God being tied up. Well, first thing is, most people think that God doesn't have any form anyway, so there's no question of tying him up. The influence of Shankaracharya. What a powerful personality. So powerful. All over the universe, probably. It's just all over India and everywhere. It's, Karnataka is... It's like some atomic, just like the atomic power station, and there's an explosion, and then it radiates all this poisonous nuclear wave. So it's like all the way from the southwest of Karnataka, from Shingeri, and then all throughout Karnataka, you have this. You have the Madhvas down there punching the hell out of them. Verbally, but otherwise their influence is very strong. It's people think God is no form. It's a funny thing. People in the Western countries, they criticize Hinduism for having so many gods, but the Hindu and so many deities, and especially they make fun of one with an elephant head. But the Hindus don't have any problem because they think, well, there's no form anyway. And what are they praying to? Who are they praying to? It's difficult to understand. Well, we have another difficult thing to understand. God is with form and without form. But mostly important is that he is with form and he's God, which means he's the supreme controller. Everyone bows down to him, anyone who's got any sense whatsoever, and worship him to fulfill their desires. Lots of desires. And God can fulfill them all. He can do whatever you want. Whatever you want, he can do it. There's no guarantee he will do it, because he is, after all, independent. He doesn't have to do what you say to him. So that's... Well, you have to pray to him. You can't order him. If you could order him, he wouldn't be God. If you He's independent, right? So then, what are we talking about? Tying him up. Tying him up. Can you tie him up? Can you tie him up? You can't tie up God. But you can tie up Krishna. You can't kiss God, but you can kiss Krishna. How about that? Srila Prabhupada used to say, you can go back to Godhead and you can kiss Krishna. He can kiss you back also, but you have to be... Who's going to watch the cricket match tonight? No one dares to put their hand up. So you have to... You can't kiss Krishna. Kissing Krishna. And, oh, there's an India-Pakistan match. See you later, Krishna. Or why don't we kiss in front of the TV? Or nowadays, what, you watch it on the cell? I don't know, whatever. One of the good things about my youth is that I never had any interest in cricket. Something good. Anyway, God is the supreme controller. Is that right? Everyone agree? Hindus, Muslims, Christians, Jews, they all agree God is the supreme controller. That means what he wants, he can do. Everything goes on under his control. However, he does like to be controlled because he's a person. Person means has feelings. He's the source of everything. If we also say God is the source of everything, and everyone will agree, Hindus, Christians, I'm not saying Buddhists, Hindus, Christians, Muslims, and Jews, they'll all agree, God is the source of everything and he's the supreme controller of everything. So he's the source of everything, which means he also has feelings. God is love, people say. So what is love? It's not just some floating in some cloud and feeling love, but it means there is exchange. We learn from the exchange between people. Love means between living beings. In English you can say, I love ice cream, or something like that. But it doesn't have the same meaning as saying, I love, and then say the name of a person. So love, it can be distant, but that's not very strong. Just like you might have a lot of feeling, Princess Diana of England, she died in some road crash, maybe 20 years ago or so. And so many British people, they were just like crying and everything, because they loved her. But it was a distant love, because they couldn't, it's just love of whatever they thought she was. Or I don't know why they loved her, I didn't know much about her. But they all loved her, it seems, and it was a great outpour. But her husband didn't love her, he divorced her. But in the science of love, which is defined by Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are levels of love. And there's distant love, where you don't really know someone, but you have a strong feeling for them. And then there's love by service. There's some exchange. Elsewhere, Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita says, I didn't get past the first three lines yet. And could be a long class. So Rupa Goswami also says, what is it that nourishes love? Dadati pratigrihnati guhyamakyati prichati bhungte bhojayate chayva shadbir bhaktir nene. It's not shadbir, it's shadvita priti lakshanam. You got me wrong there. It was your fault. I don't love you. Sorry. I do love you. You see, in material life, you can just change in a second. I don't love you, I do love you. And I don't love you. So the love is nourished by giving something to someone. When they give a gift, you accept it. Talking with them very confidentially, revealing your mind, and they may reveal the other person. The other person will reveal his mind to you. And then feeding someone, and then accepting food from them. And these are six basic kinds of exchange which nourish love between devotees and between the Supreme Lord also, because he's the source of love. He's the source of everything. So distant love, then love by service, love in friendship, and then love as a parent, as Srila Prabhupada often pointed out, because he was his preaching field in the Western countries, in the religious sphere, was dominated by Christianity, in which there's a strong concept of God being the Father. The famous prayer that Jesus taught to God begins with, our Father who art in heaven. Who knows what's the next line? Hallowed be thy name. You go to a Christian school, is that? Hallowed be thy name. In other words, Jesus told them you should do Sankirtan, but they didn't get it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, etc. So they have the very strong concept of God as the Father. But Srila Prabhupada, he said that a more developed concept is to have God as your son. Because actually, especially when the children are very small, then the parents, they serve the children. Like this young boy is, presumably your son, is squirming around on your lap, and you're completely happy with that. It's a disturbance, but you don't take it as a disturbance because he's your son. It's a matter of love. And don't mind me saying so, but I doubt if he loves you as much as you love him. Because at that age, the mentality is not so much developed. Later on, they don't appreciate at this age. They're not expected to appreciate. But you have that feeling, it's my son. So where does that come from, that feeling? Comes from Krishna. And he also likes to be a son. You can have Krishna as your son. And you may not like me saying this also, but generally the mother's love for the child is more than the father's love, especially for the son. And it may be vice versa for the daughter and all the women going like this. For me, it's theoretical. You know all about it. So Krishna, he also desires that. He also desires, and then a part of the love is scolding the child. That's also part of the love. You have to scold them. And they'll do naughty things. Children are very, very intelligent, actually, in their own way. They know that if they know how to manipulate the parents and do different things and make great excuses. They're very good at making excuses for all kinds of things. So they have their own kind of childish intelligence. But that also gives pleasure to the parents. On one hand, they're, don't talk like that. And then they'll say, why? And whatever you say, they'll say, why? There's no end to their questions, right? There's no end. Now go on asking. They won't accept defeat. It's different. Different children are different. So it can be very taxing when children are very naughty. But later on, when the children are grown up, then the parents look back and they laugh and they think, oh, that was so nice. So Krishna, he also enjoys not only being the father of everyone, he's the father of everyone. Pitaham asya jagato, mata dhata pitamaha. He's the father, the maintainer, the mother, everything. But he also likes to be the child of his devotees, to enjoy being a naughty boy. Krishna, he's mostly a naughty boy. He's not a good boy. Do you have a naughty boy brother? Yes. Is he younger than you? Must be. Younger than you? Doesn't understand. So Krishna enjoys that. Being the younger, he is the younger brother also. And Balaram tries to keep him in order sometimes, but sometimes they're partners in crime as they go around stealing so many things. So who can be the mother and father of Krishna? Not anyone, not just anyone. Mother's love is the greatest love, Srila Prabhupada said, in the material world. It's the closest thing to pure love in the material world. But then the love of Mother Yashoda to Krishna is inconceivable. We can get some idea from the reflection in this material world, but it's inconceivable how her love for Krishna is such that he agrees to become her son, which he's the only son also. Well, she also loves Balaram, but Balaram is the son of Rohini. It is most astonishing, and most people won't understand this, especially in the Western countries. First of all, they don't believe in God. If they believe in God, they think he's impersonal. And if they think he's got a form, then they think he's just sitting up somewhere and punishing people. And that's about all he does. Not much else. So that Krishna, who is the supreme controller of everything, the supreme source of everything, likes to become the son of his devotees, not anyone. In other words, he comes under the control of his devotees. We have in the Bhagavatam words like bhaktavashyata, the state of being under the control of his devotee. Bhaktairjitattvam, conquered by his devotees. Bhaktibadham, that's that we're singing in the Damodarashtakam. He's tied up, pranayarasanaya, tied up by the ropes of love. Bhakta paradhina, aham bhakta paradhino, I am under the control of my devotees. That is Krishna said to Durvasa Muni, when Durvasa Muni was saying, I'm in a lot of trouble. No one can help me. You're God, you can help me. You can show your God, because no one, even Lord Shiva and Brahma, can help me. He said, sir, I can't help you either. They told you I'm God, but I'm under the control of my devotees. So who's actually supreme? If If we say, it's just like people say that, okay, God is the source of everything. God created everything. Who made God? Right? But if someone created God, then God is not God. Then the other person is God. But then you'll say, well, who created him? There must be someone who created. And then it's an infinite regress. Therefore, anadir adir govinda sarva karana karanam. The ultimate source of everything is Krishna. But then we may say, well, Krishna, God is the supreme controller. So if someone controls him, then he's not God. That's true. Right? Did you hear that? Krishna's not God. Right? Is that correct? In Vrindavan, he's not. They don't think he's God. In Vrindavan, he's a mischievous little boy. He is God, but he is God and he isn't God at the same time, which is possible only for God. Because everything about... He's everything, which means... Everything that means he's God, but everything includes everything that is not God also. So he's also not God. Full of contradictions. Everything is resolved in Krishna. Now in this article, Gauranga Darshan Prabhu quotes from Bhagavatam, the next thing I'm going on to. Srila Prabhupada's translation of Shukdev Goswami's exaltation at Mother Yashoda. The entire universe with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Lord Indra is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Yet one of his transcendental attributes is that he comes under the control of his servitors. Britya Vashyata. So this is true. Even we have, I was just quoting from Narayana with Durvasa. So it's true even at that level, which transcendentally there's a gradation. And we see that throughout the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Vamana Dev, having showed his supremacy over Bali Maharaj, became his watchman, subordinate position. It's not a very prestigious position, is it, to be a watchman? Yeah. But he became the doorkeeper for Bali Maharaj. Yes. Lord Ram, he was completely committed to upholding the honor of his father. So he took a subordinate position. But especially in Vrindavan, this comes to such a stage that the Supreme Lord agrees to be tied up by his devotee. But not just for nothing. Just like you might punish your son sometimes, but you don't punish him for no reason. If someone is punished for no reason, then what's the point? If the parents just hit the children because the parents are feeling angry and they want to let it out, then the child will grow up with a disturbed psychology. But if punishment is meant for rectification, to make them know they're not supposed to do it when they do something wrong. So Krishna did something wrong. Krishna, he's the supreme controller, he's the source of everything. He's the supreme proprietor of everything. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to him. Nothing belongs to me. Idam Narayanaya Namama, we say. Actually, we don't need to say it because whether we say it or not, it belongs to him. But we have the mentality of thinking that something belongs to me. Therefore, yajna is required so that we can ritualize what we're supposed to internalize, that I'm offering ghee and grains to him. It's not mine, this is for him. It's not for me. Although mostly people do yajnas with the idea of saying, this is for you, this is for you, this is for you. And by the way, I'm doing this yajna because I want such and such. So therefore we get the idea of nishkam karma yoga. Stop asking for things, just do it because it's your duty, and then go up and up and up and up. And if we get high enough, we may reach Vrindavan. Krishna is the supreme proprietor of unlimited universes. Everything belongs to Krishna. He is served by how many goddesses of fortune? What did it say at the beginning of Brahma Samhita prayers? Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambrahma Sevamanai. He's served by countless goddesses of fortune. The whole world is trying to serve Lakshmi to get something from her, and there are millions of Lakshmis, millions, billions, zillions, whatever, serving him. So even if he, and also in Vrindavan, there are the Kalpa Vriksha trees. You can get anything you want from them by his grace. He is Atma Rama. He's satisfied in himself. Apta Kama. His desires are all fulfilled. But still, there's all facility for fulfilling all his desires because everything belongs to him. But he steals. This is the whole crux of the story. In Vrindavan, he goes to steal butter and yogurt from the houses, neighboring houses. If he did it in his own house, it wouldn't really be considered stealing so much. But to go to someone else's house and stealthily enter in, because once he's done it one time, then they're all afraid and they're on the lookout for him. And they try to lock the doors and hang the butter very high so he can't reach it. And it becomes a nice game for Krishna, how he can enter the house without being seen and steal the butter and yogurt and so many things. And it's very embarrassing to Mother Yashoda, that it's very embarrassing. Just like we have now the Aryan Khan, the son of Shah Rukh Khan. It must be very embarrassing for Shah Rukh Khan, right? That he's such a respected figure. There's no need to laugh. It's a sad thing. We don't want to laugh at someone else's misfortune. So it must be very, apart from anything else, it must be very embarrassing for him that he's sambhavitasya cha kirti maranadati richati. So for someone who's been honored to be dishonored, it's worse than death. So there's just an example that she is the queen of Vrindavan and she's supposed to have the best milk, which she has. She has her special cows with the special milk. She gets all the cows in Vrindavan are Surabhi cows, but she gets the best of the best, the Padmagandha cows. Because she thinks, I'll give Krishna the best milk and the best butter and the best yogurt, and then he won't steal. But still he goes to steal. So it's very embarrassing. I mean, it's just like people may think of Shah Rukh Khan. You didn't bring up your child properly. Now he's become a criminal. And then, so they may say, Mother Yashoda, you see, you don't feed your child properly. He doesn't feed a child properly. It's like a huge feast for breakfast. Even before he goes out to the pasturing grounds. Practically he's eating morning, midday, night, snacks in between, plus all the fruits and roots in the forest and on Govardhan. And so it's very embarrassing. Why should he steal something? Anyway, it belongs to him. He could just go into any house and show his Virat Rupa. Actually, I'm God. Give me your butter. It all belongs to me anyway. But that wouldn't fit in Vrindavan. The Virat Rupa, it hardly fitted even with Arjuna. He could hardly relate to it. What to speak of in Vrindavan? Well, one way he showed he's God, because however intelligently the gopis, they tried to prevent him stealing, he found out ways to do it anyway. In this way, he nourished the love of the other gopis of the same age as Mother Yashoda, because they all loved him. They all loved him more than their own children, which is why also he fashioned the pastime of Brahma stealing all the cowherd boys, and then he became the cowherd boys so they could actually feed Krishna personally, directly, even without knowing it. So the gopis, they go in a group, they say, someone comes out of their house and says, oh, they say, there's milk, and we're making the yogurt, and with great effort, making the butter, and keeping it all, and then this little brat just comes and breaks the pots and steals it and distributes it to the monkeys. And one gopi is saying, and the other say, yeah, he did that in my home too. And another gopi told, and then they all come together and go to Yashoda and lodge a complaint and tell him all about this boy. He's they're all very respectful to Yashoda Ma. She is Queen of Vrindavan. We say Radhe Vrindavan Ishwari, but officially it's Yashoda because Nanda Maharaj, so she's Vrajeshwari Yashoda, so they're very respectful to her, but at the same time they think that this is getting to be too much and we should tell her, because she doesn't want to, she wants her child to be a good boy when he grows up, so A little bit of tomfoolery is okay, but this is getting to be too much. We'd be happy to feed him, but he doesn't ask us. He just takes it by himself, and then he feeds it all to the monkeys. We hang up all the butter and ghee and everything so the monkeys can't get it, but he just calls all the monkeys and feeds it. So they complain to Yashoda. They do. What are they doing when they're complaining to Yashoda? They're doing kirtan. Really? They go in with a sankirtan party and playing kartels. And no, but they're talking Krishna katha. They're talking about Krishna lila. So in this way, Yashoda gets to hear about Krishna from her friends. And we can also hear. And we also can be benefited by hearing about Krishna. That's why Krishna, one of the reasons Krishna comes to this world. Srinvanti, Gayanti, Granantya, Pikshana, Smaranti, Nandanti, Tave, Hitang, Janaha, etc. That Krishna comes and he plays such pastimes, and up to the present day we can hear about them and take pleasure in that, and then no more birth and death. That's the minimum, the first result. Bhava pravaho, what is it? Bhava pravaho paramang, I don't remember it. Ta eva pasyantya chirena tavakam bhava pravaho, and I forget the last words. Bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. Is that right? Okay. You came all the way from Surat to help me with my forgetting my shlokas. He's very much absorbed in Krishna Katha. Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padam Bhujam. By similar thing, she said earlier also that Kunti said, by seeing your lotus feet, we no longer see birth and death. So they're complaining, and Krishna is standing there, little boy, just a little boy. And he brazenly denies it. I don't go to your house. You don't have very good butter. Why should I go to your house? The butter's no good. So here you have him telling lies. He's the supreme absolute truth. Satyam eva jayate. We have his name, Param Satya. How are we going to preach this to others? God is he's a liar. He's a supreme liar. It's going to be a tough one to preach that to others. Actually, among Hindus, you can say it, because in Hinduism, people are used to all kinds of things which are not really very logical. Now, I'm not saying that sarcastically. Well, some of the things, just like why they accept Sai Baba, that's really stupid. But then there are other things, in general, they don't have a problem. They can be a nuclear scientist and worship Ganesh, and they don't have any problem with that, because that culture is there. That it's, they don't go very deeply philosophically into it, but there's an understanding that, yeah, that's God. We're just ordinary people, and God can do whatever he likes. Anything's possible. So he's the absolute truth, and he lies. But not to everyone. Not to everyone. When he says, Sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja ahang tva savapapebhyo moksha yishyami masuchaha. Surrender to me, giving up all varieties of religion. I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. He's not lying. He's telling the truth. We should know when he's telling the truth and when he's not telling the truth. In Vrindavan, that's why I say, in Vrindavan he's not being God. He is God, but he's not like God. He's God beyond the, this is what it is, he's God beyond the, what we conceive of as being God. God means supreme powerful, supreme source of everything, supreme absolute truth, supreme proprietor, supreme loving, supreme loving, that is really there. But that's, we can understand that, right? We can understand. God is the supreme proprietor, the supreme source of everything. You can understand that, right? But then, one thing we have to understand, and Jiva Goswami says this, is the entrance into real theism, is to accept his achintya shakti, his inconceivable potencies, his inconceivability. So if we think we can understand, yeah, God, he's the truth, he's the supreme proprietor, yeah, okay, understood. That's why you have that paper there. Learn Bhagavad Gita in 6 days. Really? Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavang mang prapadyate vasudeva saramiti samahatma sudolabha. Why 6 days? You can do it in 6 seconds if you just accept that. But on the other hand, it can take millions of lifetimes. So if we think, I've understood God, then what does Lord Brahma say about that? Jananta eva janantu kimba hutyana me prabhu manaso vapashava cha vaibhava tvamagochara. He says that some people may say, I know Krishna, I know all about him. Yes, yes, I know very well. But as far as I'm concerned, and Brahma says, and he's born from Krishna, he is the most intelligent person in the universe. Any one of his heads has got more intelligence and more knowledge than anyone else in the universe, and he has four heads. And he says, someone may say I know about Krishna, but as far as I'm concerned, I haven't got a clue. I thought I did, but now I know I don't. So Achintya, he is inconceivable. When we accept that he's inconceivable, then we can understand him. To some extent. When we can understand that the absolute truth tells lies, the supreme proprietor steals, the supreme dharma, the person who gives the path of righteous action, he steals, he lies, then we can understand God. But we also understand that his stealing is all good, whereas our stealing is not good. Even if we steal in the name of Krishna, we have to do it in an authorized way. That can be done, but generally it should not be done. Just like if you happen to be overseeing a temple and then you transfer, you say it was in the name of one trust and then you say it's in the name of another trust and bring it under your control. Just like there's a temple on a hill in Bangalore, that happened. So you can say it's in the name of Krishna, but it has to be authorized. But God doesn't need any authorization. He can do whatever he likes. Phone off, please. He can do whatever he likes. But then, when he comes under the control of his devotees, he can't do whatever he likes. So it's all inconceivable. And then we hear the pastimes of Krishna, and we don't want to try and work it out too much. We have a lot of philosophy in the 9 cantos, and we come to the 10th canto, and there's philosophy throughout the 10th canto also, just like quoting that, Kimba Huktyaname Prabhu, that Lord Brahma, very important philosophy, right in the 2nd chapter, is it, of the 10th canto, the demigod's prayers. And then in the 14th chapter, we have Lord Brahma's prayers to Krishna. And throughout the Bhagavatam 10th canto, we have Muchukunda's prayers, Akrura's prayers. There are so many throughout the 10th canto, in which we get philosophy also to keep us on track. But especially the Vraja Leela, it's to be relished by those who are eligible to do so, and by discussing all these things, we can become blessed by the devotees like Mother Yashoda and the Vrajavasis, that we can also appreciate this. And there's another level of appreciation. The gopis are appreciating Krishna being such a naughty boy. But there's another level of appreciation, hearing about it and discussing about it. Srinvanti, Gayanti, by hearing and discussing, there's another level. And therefore, Krishna comes himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to relish from another level by discussing. If you're in the Leela, you're appreciating in one way. But then if you step back and we discuss about it, then we appreciate it another way. So that's possible when you're not directly in the Leela, but thinking about it. And then therefore there are dramas and discussions. So Krishna is lying, telling lies and cheating the gopis and tricking them, bewildering them, and doing all the kinds of things. Just like we say, oh, this person, he lied to me, he cheated me, he tricked me. If someone tells you, I say, oh, that's a very bad person. But they love him all the more for that. That's also inconceivable. He captures their hearts. But actually their hearts are already completely given to Krishna, but he takes it more and more and more. So he lies, maybe not lies, because you said, so you're sort of saying, well, you're saying you didn't do it. Well, who distributed the butter to the monkeys? There's no other answer but Krishna. Who distributed butter to the monkeys if it's not you? He said, Krishna says, the person who made the monkeys gave it to them. So he's not lying, but he's avoiding at the same time, because Mother Yashoda doesn't know that he made the monkeys. Very clever, Krishna. The young boys, they can be very clever in making all excuses. So it's true and it's not true. As far as Mother Yashoda is concerned, it's not true, because she worships Narayan at home. She has Brahmins in the home to worship Narayan. Yeah, naughty boy, very bad boy. It's one thing to steal all the butter from other homes and embarrass her so much, but it's another thing to, it's just lying. What are we going to do? What's this boy going to be like when he grows up? She could have never imagined when he grows up, he'll become the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, killing so many demons. Well, he was already doing that in Vrindavan. Speaking Bhagavad Gita, by speaking Bhagavad Gita, everyone comes to know the glories of Krishna. Matah parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. There's nothing, no one greater than me, Krishna says. But by performing his pastimes in Vrindavan, Krishna lets it be known to those who will hear it that his devotees are greater than himself. In Bhagavad Gita, he glorifies himself. I'm God, I'm supreme. Everything is dependent on me. In Vrindavan Leela, he glorifies his devotees. That I'm not God, because God can't be tied up, but my devotees tie me up. I'm not supreme. I'm dependent. I'm subordinate to the love of my devotees. So in this way, there are contradictions. Achintya means inconceivable, means there are contradictions. Anoraniyan mahato mahiyan, the smallest of the small, and simultaneously the biggest of the big. Apanipado javano grihita, he has no legs, but he walks. He has no hands, but he accepts things. So all these contradictions are possible in God. This is more advanced theology than simply saying he's the supreme controller, the supreme proprietor, supreme source of everything, supreme absolute truth. Yes, we accept all that. But there's another aspect. If we go, what could be higher than that? Yes, yeah, we can go higher also. Another aspect of the Supreme Lord is that although Brahmanas are constantly offering him ghee and grains in the fire of sacrifice, and although at Puri he's fed so much food and so many devotees throughout the universe are always offering him food, but he gets hungry. He's self-satisfied, Atmarama, but he gets hungry. This happened on the Deepavali day, festival day. This Damodar pastime, So Mother Yashoda is churning the butter for Krishna. It's for Krishna, specifically for Krishna. She's thinking of Krishna. I make the nicest butter with the best cows and going in the best grazing grounds and the milk, the best milk. I'll make the best butter for Krishna. So she's making it. But Krishna wakes up from his sleep because he's a young boy. They play very hard and then they can just sleep anywhere, anytime, any place. And then as soon as they get up, they're active again. So Krishna, and then he becomes hungry for her milk. He wants to, he's already eating. So many people are giving him food all the time, all over the universes. But he wants the milk from his mother's breast. And she very happily fed him with milk from her breast. And apparently, for women, that's the highest happiness they can get. Is it? I don't know, but I saw in a... Even scientifically, they say that the highest happiness for a woman is to feed her child with her breast milk. And that all is coming down from Yashoda and Krishna and Kaushalya and Rama. So it's all coming down from the spiritual world. So we can't imagine what is the bliss of Mother Yashoda in feeding Krishna, and Krishna's bliss in being fed. And also the child, most happy, secure on the lap of his mother, drinking the breast milk, and just completely happy. Then, all of a sudden, Mother Yashoda thinks, "Oh, I left the milk on the stove. It might be boiling over. Oh, it's overflowing. Oh, all that milk which we got with so much trouble for Krishna." Whew, puts Krishna aside, runs off. And Krishna, who is Vishuddha Sattva Vigraha, when his mother goes away to tend to the milk which she's tending for his sake, he who is Vishuddha Sattva Vigraha is the absolute emblem of pure goodness, sattva guna. In sattva guna, you never get disturbed. Should never be disturbed by anything. Peaceful, all the time. But Krishna, the supreme peaceful, became angry at his mother. He loves his mother, but he became angry at his mother. "What's she doing running away? I'm happy drinking her milk, and she's just run off. She doesn't think that she's run off to tend to the milk which he's boiling for me." He doesn't think that much. He just thinks she ran off. So he's angry. Okay, what does he do? Krishna's old enough and strong enough to have realized how he can disturb his mother and make her upset. So he goes and breaks a pot with the butter, and while his mother's away, he feeds it to the monkeys. But he's also afraid, because he knows he's doing something wrong, and his mother won't be happy. So he's afraid of his mother. He is fear personified. Fear ultimately comes to God, because all power comes from Him. What are we afraid of? Something that can harm us. No one can harm us more than God, because He's supremely powerful. But he becomes afraid of Mother Yashoda by his transcendental nature of love. These are all pastimes of love. It's all happening, orchestrated by Krishna's yoga maya shakti. So Krishna, he's very intelligent, no doubt. The supreme, he's also the supreme intelligent, right? God is the supreme intelligent. But, and thieves also have to be very intelligent, right? To be a good thief, you have to be intelligent. Otherwise, you get caught right away. So a good thief is one who can go on stealing and not get caught. There's a Chaurya Vidya within the Vedic corpus. Not the original Veda, but Chaurya Vidya. There's knowledge of stealing, and it's parampara. It's just like the potter teaches his son how to make pots, and the barber teaches his son how to shave, and the thief teaches his son how to steal. So it's a whole science of how to do it. You have to know what you're doing. You have to be very intelligent. Because the householders will be trying to thwart you, and there's the local police. Also, so if you can't, it's hard to do the same trick twice. You have to have a good number of tricks. How to be a thief. But Krishna, after all, he was a young boy and his father hadn't trained him. He was just learning by himself how to be a thief. So he left a trail of little footprints in the butter so Mother Yashoda could easily find him. She's coming with a stick in her hand. There's a very nice picture, BBT picture, of Krishna and Balaram stealing. And they can hear Mother Yashoda is coming. She's got an angry look on her face, and they're looking like, oh, we're caught. We can't get away. But this time Krishna, he ran away. He is fear personified, and even Yamaraj, the lord of death, is afraid of him. But he runs away from a village woman. Who's afraid of a village woman? Who cares about village women? The only time anyone cares about them is when the politicians want to get their vote. And then they say, we're gonna give you a mixie or something like this. And then otherwise, and afterwards they just forget. Who cares? Village women, we're not concerned about them. But Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda, that stick in her hand. He ran away, and he's very fast. Pantas tu koti shatavatsa. You can run at the speed of the mind, you won't catch up with Krishna. With that Kala, the Yavana, he was trying to catch Krishna. Krishna's just walking, and the Kala Yavana is running behind him. He can't catch him. Why can't he catch him? Because he can only be caught by love. And therefore, even though Krishna's the fastest, travels much faster than the speed of light, much faster than the speed of mind, but Mother Yashoda could catch him. He was trying to catch him, and then he'd just be a little bit away, trying to catch him, being a little bit away. She just kept on almost catching him. But then Mother Yashoda, she caught him. Yogamaya arranged it all. And there he is. He's the supreme proprietor, the supreme truth, the supreme controller, the supreme source of everything. He's also the supreme bliss. And there he is, crying in fear at his mother's stick and rubbing his eyes to try to make his mother feel as if he's just an innocent little boy, which he's not. He's not an innocent little boy, but he's trying to... And then his kajal on his eyes all gets mixed up and smeared up. Usually when he cries, Mother Yashoda will very carefully wipe his eyes so his kajal doesn't get all black all over. His face is already black, but the kajal is a little bit blacker. He's bluish black like a monsoon cloud, but the kajal is very black. So she would wipe it very carefully with her sari end so it doesn't get smeared, but this time it gets smeared all over his face because he's rubbing like this. And he's muhushwasa kampa chire kanka kanta. He's breathing heavily again and again, and then the lines on his throat going up and down like this. Breathing heavily, in fear. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev says that the great ocean of tears, which is the whole material existence, is a great ocean of tears due to the suffering of the people in this world. But that is dried up by the smile of the Supreme Lord. And here we have the Supreme Lord himself, not smiling, but crying in fear. By his breathing, all the universes are manifest from his body. Just peacefully breathing. Now he's breathing in fear. And then the next thing. God means we should pray to him, right? Everyone's praying to him, worshipping him. There's so many prayers in all the different languages. There are so many prayers in Sanskrit, and then in the different regional languages of India, there are prayers to God, and in English and Hebrew, and in every language, people make prayers to God, praising him. And now Mother Yashoda is scolding him. We praise God. God is good. That's the first thing. God is good, right? God is good. Mother Yashoda is scolding him. You're very bad. You are very bad. You're a very naughty boy. Hey, hey, hey. Naughty boy. Hey. Don't make a noise. Your mother will scold you. I'm going to scold you. Naughty boy. See, he's very restless. He can't sit still. He's making a noise. Very restless. Greedy, bad-tempered, lying. He loves the monkeys. What a bad boy you are. And then you're a thief, and she's scolding him like anything. I hope your boy doesn't grow up like that. And then she said, if you go on like that, I won't give you any nice milk products, no milk or ghee. And Krishna's thinking, well, she won't give it to me. He forgets that he can just go and steal it from somewhere else. I won't let you play with your toys. Have you been to the Vallabh Sampraday Haveli? Do they have one in Bangalore? Maybe not. Even if they do, you wouldn't know, probably, because it's small. But in North India they have, especially in Gujarat and Rajasthan. In Surat there are at least two, I think, aren't there? How many? Three Havelis. So they worship, the Vallabh Sampraday, they worship Krishna. Actually, his form as Srinathji is like adult form, but they worship him like a little child. So they give him little toys. They bring out his toys. Little things you can rattle and little things you can pull along. So Mother Yashoda said, I'll take away all your toys. Bad boy. I won't let you play. I won't let you play with your playmates. I'll keep you indoors all the time. Krishna's saying, this is really serious. They never told me I was going to get punished like this. Oh, really? He's guilty. He is guilty. He is the supreme judge of everyone. But he's caught open-handed, red-handed. They call it red-handed. He's caught And Mother Yashoda, she is the judge and the jury and the witness and the punisher, all in one. So that's supposed to be Krishna, right? He's supposed to be all. But Mother Yashoda, there's no way he can lie this time. It's very clear. He's come now, what's he going to do? So the judge, okay, guilty. You're to be punished. And they're sitting there waiting. What are they going to do? Are they going to execute me or give me life jail? Or what are they going to do? Whatever the judge says, you have to accept the punishment. So Krishna's, what's he going to do now? What's he going to do? She's trembling in fear. I won't do it anymore. I'll be good. And she, yeah, sure. First time offender, you may get off. They say, I won't do it anymore. But Krishna, you can't believe him anymore. You can't believe, he's again and again and again doing the wrong things. So Mother Yashoda, her patience has run out. But at the same time, she's afraid of him. He might do anything. He might run away from home or anything. He might go and stay in someone else's home. He likes their butter. So she's afraid to beat him, or she doesn't want to hurt him. So what does she do? She thinks, I'll tie him up. So that way he can't do anything wrong anymore. So that's one thing you can do. Nowadays they have these children's pens, right? They put them inside with the bars. They put them inside, so they just like a prisoner in the baby. They call it a baby pen, so they can't escape. So you tie them up around the waist, so it doesn't really hurt. But then you tie it to something solid, like for instance a grinding mortar, so they can't get away. And that way, they're kept under control. It's a punishment. But it's not like beating. It's not so, it doesn't hurt exactly, but just the children are restrained from doing anything bad anymore. So Mother Yashoda, she's decided, okay, I'm going to tie him up. And how can you tie up God? He's everywhere anyway. Tie him up means you keep him in one place, but anyway, he's in every place all the time. Where is God? Where is he not? He's everywhere. How can you keep him in one place? But she can. He has no beginning or end, no inside or outside, no front or back, because he's everywhere. But she decided to tie him up. How could she tie him up? Well, the cowherd people, they know how to tie up cows. That's standard things. They always have plenty of ropes because they have plenty of cows. So they tie up the cows and they tie up their legs when they're milking them, and they tie up the calves so the calves don't come and drink all the milk. They have plenty of rope. So she told her servants, Mother Yashoda, bring some rope. Soft rope, not very hard rope. Anyway, they don't use very hard ropes. So how much do you need to tie up Krishna? He's only a small boy. You don't need very much. So bring some rope. Okay, tie. Oh, funny. I thought it looked longer than that. It's just a little bit too short. It's like two things. Just a little bit. Bring some more. And tie up. Add that and tie. That's why it's also too short. Whatever robe she brought, it's just a little bit too short. Krishna's showing, I'm God again. You don't know I'm God. You can't tie me up. But then he thought, my poor mother, she wants to tie me up. I've got my desire. By my desire, everything goes on. But she's got her desire. With my desire, I can fulfill all my desires, but I can fulfill others' desires. What if your desire is contradictory to that of the Supreme Lord? That's called sinful desire. If we want to do something that God doesn't want us to do, that's called a sinful desire. But in this case, we have Yashoda Mai. She wants to do something which Krishna doesn't want her to do. But he agrees to that because he becomes subordinate to her desire. She didn't give up. She brought one rope, another rope, more and more ropes. She became quite tired from all of this. So Krishna, seeing this, out of his mercy, which is his most important quality, that is very much recognized in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, and also in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Srila Prabhupada writes that in the Krishna book also, that among all Krishna's innumerable transcendental qualities, his most important quality is his mercy upon his devotees. So he thought, oh, my mother, she's trying so hard to tie me up, and I'm just playing at being God and not letting her. All right, she's getting tired. All right, then he's very soft-hearted, actually. Even though he plays as a naughty boy, but he's very soft, just like the butter. And then he allows her, that her endeavor to tie him up. He takes that's one kind of service. Whatever Mother Yashoda does, it's all service to Krishna. She doesn't do anything outside of bhakti, devotional service to Krishna. So even trying to tie up Krishna, that's one part of her bhakti. And seeing her trying so hard, Krishna, and not giving up, Krishna eventually said, all right, let her tie me up. So in the same way, we may try and try and try and try to serve Krishna, but we should know that if we continue to try to serve Krishna, that certainly Krishna will reciprocate in due course of time. And he is reciprocating even when we don't see him reciprocating, but he just wants to see how determined we are to serve him. These two fingers, too short, that symbolizes the rope is two fingers too short. So on the one hand, one factor is the endeavor of the devotee, and the other factor is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So both things have to be there in our devotional service. Krishna wants to see how we, because devotional service means we have to serve him, but we can't get admitted into the realm of devotion without Krishna's mercy. So then she tied him up, and Krishna is the supreme, apart from everything else, he's the supreme liberator. Therefore, his name is Muktida. But Mother Yashoda, the one who gives liberation, who frees us from being tied up, he is tied up by his mother. This is a lot better than just going to the temple and praying for some more rupees, isn't it? What do you think? You can go to the temple and pray for some more rupees or to cure your backache, but this is a lot better. What do you think? What do you think, Aravindaksh? You come from the family which has lots of rupees compared to most people. But you're not much interested in all of that, are you? You're interested in hearing about Krishna. So he can liberate us. With all these yogis and gyanis, they're trying so hard for liberation. And Krishna, very easily, he can just get, you want liberation? Okay. Muktim dadati karhijit nasma bhakti yogam. He can give mukti very easily, but devotion to him He will not give very easily, because by devotion we can tie up, we can tie him up. So how can we tie him up? What ropes will we use to tie him up? Pranaya rasanaya, the ropes of love can tie him up. And Mother Yashoda demonstrates by her love. She doesn't know that 5,000 years later people are going to be sitting in Bangalore talking about this. She doesn't have any idea about this. She's just Mother Yashoda. Just Mother Yashoda. She ties him up with her rope of love. It's the only thing that can tie him, and only that kind of love. Completely pure love, with no personal desire whatsoever. And not only no personal desire, but just overwhelming, overflowing love. But after all, he is still Mukunda. So even when he's tied up, he goes and liberates Manigriva and Nalakuvara. He's controlled by his devotee by being tied up, and he's controlled by his devotee in liberating Manigriva and Nalakuvara. Otherwise, he doesn't have any particular interest in them. They're just a couple of young boys who are just having a rave party in the river, and then they get caught by Narad Muni. And what does he care about? But Narad Muni has cursed them and said that you will be delivered by Krishna. So he has to do what Narad Muni says. So again, we see he's controlled by his devotee. So Krishna, he has all qualities. It's hard to understand. And if we try to understand too much, we'll go crazy. Because you can't understand. You can't understand it. It's beyond understanding. So we don't understand. We just like Mother Yashoda, she doesn't get out a book on child psychology and try to work it all out. She's just Mother Yashoda. That's all. That's all. She's just Mother Yashoda. She doesn't know anything else. She doesn't know Bhagavad Gita. She just knows, there's Krishna is my son. He's naughty. He's all contradictions are in him. Smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest. He's within everything, yet he's aloof from everything. He's the supreme controller. But he's controlled by his devotees. And even Shukdev Goswami becomes amazed. Nayang sukhapo bhagavan dehinam gopika sutaha gyaninam chatma bhutanam yatha bhakti matamiha. Lord Krishna, this is Srila Prabhupada's translation. Lord Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is easily accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but not to mental speculators, aspirants of self-realization, or those in bodily identification. So there we have it. Krishna is asamurdva. This is the Vedic language. It means no one is equal to him, no one is above him. But the devotee becomes greater than him. Those who want to become one with God or equal to God, they should become Vaishnavas. And then they can become more than God. Srila Prabhupada sometimes used to say this. Why do you want to be one with God? You can become more than God. That he agrees to become subordinate to his devotee. Out of their love for him, he becomes subordinate. There are so many examples. Arjuna at Kurukshetra. Krishna became subordinate. Senaya ubayoma de ratam sthapya mechuta. Krishna, just take the chariot and bring it between the two armies. He orders Krishna, and Krishna, he agreed already. I mean, his chariot driver. He wouldn't do that for Duryodhana. Theoretically, he might have done, because he gave Duryodhana the choice. Do you want me or do you want my army? Theoretically, but he knew Duryodhana. He always calculated in a material way. But Arjuna, both Duryodhana was happy. Duryodhana gets the army and Arjuna gets Krishna, but he's not fighting. If he was going to fight, then Duryodhana would have taken him because he knows what power Krishna has. But Arjuna says, okay, very happy to have Krishna on my side. And then Krishna becomes the chariot driver. He suggests to Arjuna, you see, I'm very good at driving. I'm not just good at controlling cows, I can control horses too. So I'll become your chariot driver. And Arjuna says, okay, all right. So take the chariot, drive it there. Krishna, apart from all, he's the supreme proprietor, supreme controller, supreme truth. He's also the supreme famous. That's among his six main attributes by which he is known as the Supreme Lord. He is the supreme famous. But here is another aspect of his fame. He has the fame of being controlled by his devotees. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are broadcast loudly throughout all the Vedas, especially the Upanishads and the Sankhya Yoga philosophy, and throughout all the Vaishnava literature in various languages, in the Quran and the Bible. The glories of the Supreme Lord are broadcast. Yet Mother Yashoda, out of her intense affection for Krishna, thought of him as a child, just like everyone else has a child. All the women have children. So I have my child. He's my child. She thinks like that. No idea that he's God. Hare Krishna. Naimam varincho nabhavo. What is that? Naimam varincho nabhavo. What is that verse? Naimam varincho nabhavo na shrir apyanga sangshraya prasadam lebhire gopi yattad. What is it? Yattad prapya vimuktidat. Krishna, who is the giver of liberation, vimukti, which means liberation with bhakti, he gave such mercy to Mother Yashoda, which even Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi, who's his better half, part of his body, they couldn't get such mercy as this village woman got by tying up Krishna, who is the giver of liberation. So Krishna shows what it means with his devotees. Actually, Krishna can't be God without his devotees. Because what's the meaning of being a king without subjects? So to be the Supreme Lord means you have to have devotees. And Krishna shows that more important than being supreme and being powerful is to love and be loved. And he shows that especially through his Vrindavan pastimes. Although in this material existence we have this perverse desire to try to enjoy and control this world, Ishvaroham aham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi, but that is not our nature. That who says Ishvaroham aham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi? That's the demons. That's the characteristic of the demon. They say, I am the supreme, I am the enjoyer, I am perfect, I am powerful, I am happy. The demons say that. And there's one other person who's not a demon who says that, and that is Krishna. Because he actually is Ishvara, Bhogi, Siddha, Balavan, Sukhi. So he says that. But he goes on to say, or throughout Gita, he gives the hints. Ananyas cheta satatam Patrang pushpang palangtayam yome bhaktya prayachati. He gives hints throughout the Gita that it's more important than all this business of being God and controlling others. Actually, that's just for the criminals. That's for those who are criminal, they need to know that there is a supreme controller. Watch out. But the real innate need of everyone is to love, and that springs from Krishna. He loves every living being, but he especially loves those who love him. He reciprocates. Yayata mang prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajamyaham. He reciprocates. If we love him, he'll love us. If we don't love him, he'll still love us, but he won't reciprocate in the same way as those who love. Now, when we speak about him being the supreme powerful, how powerful is he? It's inconceivably powerful. How powerful is Narendra Modi? Very powerful. Very much more powerful than any of us, isn't it? Obviously. How rich is Bill Gates? Much richer than any of us. Much, 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 much richer. Narendra Modi is much, 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 much more powerful than us. Then how much rich is God? Supremely rich. Supremely powerful. And then if we say love, how much is his love? It's so much more than we can imagine. But that's that one. We cannot be as powerful as God. We cannot be as rich as God. We cannot be as famous as God. But he shares his love. So devotees can come to that level that they can have even more than he has. This is his greatest quality. He loves everyone. And he gives the ability to everyone that they can love him even more than he loves them, which is inconceivable because his love is unlimited and it's always increasing. So this is one aspect of the love of the Supreme Lord, that he enjoys to be controlled by his devotees' love to the extent that he agrees to be tied up. And even though Krishna is crying, it's all bliss. Krishna doesn't become unhappy at any time, even when he is apparently unhappy. He's crying in fear, but it's all bliss for Krishna. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'll finish there. And the arati is going on. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Damodar Bhagavan ki jai. Sri Maya Yashoda ki jai. Hare Krishna.